Hi, has anyone joined the call?
Minx is here.
Hi, Minx. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing great. I meant to email you and check in with from our coaching session. Are things any different?
Well, I'm not sure how different they are, but at least I'm thinking about my office hours.
Perfect. Well, you know, awareness is the first step to change, so good for you.
Yeah, I've got some down, but I realized looking at my weeks to come, they're just so variable from week to week that I was a little confused about where to put my hours in. So I just did the best with what I have, and that just was good insight to look at just how intensively my schedule is moving around in the next little while.
Sure. And it's just it's a great start. It's a great entry point.
Thank you.
Hello, Anna. It's Sasha.
Hi, Sasha.
And Minx is on the line as well.
Hello.
Minx, can you hear me okay?
I hear you great.
Is there a little delay? Is there a little delay?
You know, all of a sudden,
you know,
there's no one here.
I know. That's so weird. Now it's better?
No.
All right, I'm going to keep moving. Any better? No.
There's a really bad echo.
Yeah. How about now?
No.
I'm gonna sign off and sign back in.
Okay.
So checking in, is this any better?
That sounds better.
All right, I'm not moving. Let's check. Welcome, Jenny. It's Sasha. We're just waiting for everyone else to come online.
Okay.
Hi, it's Cynthia.
I heard Anna and Cynthia. Welcome, Cynthia.
Thanks.
You talk just like a friend of mine from Louisville, Kentucky.
I am from Kentucky.
I know. You sound just like her. Welcome, Kia. This is Sasha.
Hi.
We are waiting for a few more people to come online, and then we'll get started. Welcome, Nikki. This is Sasha. We're just waiting for
a few
more people to join. Hi.
Okay.
Welcome, Ashley. This is Sasha. And we're just waiting for a few more people to join the call.
Okay, perfect.
Actually, I'm reading my notes, and Melanie will not be joining us today, so I think we're all here. So welcome, everyone. We'll get into some introductions for the people who were not with us last week. But the first part of the session, I always like to ground and get centered before our calls. So I did that last week, and I was wondering if anybody would want to volunteer to do that this week. Each week, someone will have an opportunity. And just like you settle in for your yoga class, I mean, anything is relevant. So would anyone like to do that today? Okay, would you like for me to go today, yoga teachers?
Sure.
Yes, why don't you?
Sorry, the same thing. Okay, no worries. It's all good. All right, unless you're driving, soften the windows of your eyes and find a long spine. And just begin to drop into the silence. And just notice the ebb and flow of your breath and allow it to nourish you. And anchor your six bones into the earth as you grow tall through the crown of your head, feeling the length and strength of your spine. And take a deep, expansive breath in. Exhale, let it go. One more time. Inhale, fill your lungs. And exhale, sigh it out. Then slowly flutter your eyes open and arrive to our call. Welcome, everyone. So glad you could make it. So my name is Sasha, and we have a few people on the call that I'd like to have them introduce themselves, basically name where you live, how long you've been teaching yoga, and your intention for this program. So Jenny, would you like to kick us off?
Sure. Hi. Hi, everyone. I'm Jenny Arthur, and I know a few of you. Hi, Nikki. I live in New York.
Hi, Jenny. Hi.
Nikki used to live in New York too. I live in New York. I've lived in New York since 2004. Originally from Los Angeles, and I did all of my teacher training and early teaching and practicing in yoga works in Santa Monica. I've been teaching for 15 years now, since 1998, and my intention with this course is, well, you know, the more that I look at the emails, and I just got the manual yesterday, so I'm just beginning to flip through those pages, but my intention is beginning to change as I see the relevance, you know, because I didn't really know that much about it, to be honest, and so my intention really is, I guess, to complement, you know, what I already do, and I'm as I think a few of the other teachers on the line are, I'm a mentor in the 300-hour program, and I just think that these are all of the principles and the questions that were being asked are so relevant in terms of, like, they go so well with what I already do, and I'm always looking for, you know, to hone my skills in terms of being able to talk to students and trainees and, I mean, just anybody. So just looking for new ways to communicate, and, like, I really need to learn to listen better and to be, you know, practice patience and not always jumping in. So I'm going to be on mute a lot so that that's not an option. But, yeah, just really just to learn how to become a better, you know, a better listener, to help people figure out their own way rather than me, you know, imposing my agenda. So I think there's more than that, but that's what I'm coming up with right now.
That's awesome, Jenny. That's a great start, and it's very relevant to today's conversation because we'll be talking a lot about the listening piece. So thank you for sharing. Nikki, would you be next?
Hi, all. Hi, Jenny. I'm so excited we're doing this together. Jenny was actually my teacher. She was my first yoga teacher. And it's super exciting that, like, I'm studying with her. So I have been teaching almost 9 years, which is crazy. And I just moved from California. I moved to Orlando, Florida. And it was a really big move for me and a really big change for me. And I went from teaching almost 7 days a week to not teaching at all. And when I got this email, I knew that it is exactly what I needed and wanted. I was really lucky right when I got out of my 200-hour program. Maybe it was my 300, I can't remember. But there was a woman, her name was Melanie. Her name is now Melanie Meltzer because she married Sky Meltzer. And she was doing her life coaching course, and she was a life coach to me. And at that point, I most certainly, it was a time in my life when I was the most successful because I had a life coach. And I have always felt that way. In fact, I've told my husband like a bazillion times that he needs a life coach. And now I'm really realizing that I need a life coach. So I'm really excited because this is a lot for me, and I'm really excited that I might be able to infuse this into my own yoga teaching and, you know, private and things like that.
Great. Thanks, Nikki. You definitely will be able to infuse this. And you're right. Everyone is in need of a life coach. Not in need, but it's a great support system to have. I have my own as well. So thank you for sharing. Kia, would you go next, please?
Hi, yes. Hi, Jenny. my name's Kia. I live in California, in Venice. I'm originally from the Falkland Islands. I've been teaching around 10 years, 9 years, something in there. My intention's kind of similar to Jenny's, actually, just to make me, just to further finesse what I already do when I'm mentoring other people, and, you know, just all of the brief little conversations I tend to have with people on the road as well, when they're asking for advice. I think if I could just get and able to do that, that would be great for me. I also find myself in the busiest phase of my life that I've ever been in. And so I find it hard to manage just the sheer scope of everything that I'm doing. So I think that this whole process is going to help me to fine-tune that as well. So that's kind of a basic run of where I'm at. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thank you for sharing. I love hearing everybody's story and intention, and I absolutely adore your accent. So very cool. I think you were just in Boulder for Hanuman, correct?
That's right. I was, yes.
I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to meet you, but I definitely will. I live here. Thank you, Kia. Ashley.
Hello, my name's Ashley, and I live in Walnut Creek, which is a little bit east of San Francisco in the Bay Area. I'm actually not a yoga teacher. I'm working on getting into Mel and Mink's teacher training once it's posted in the, it's going to start in January. So I have a goal to be in the teacher training, but I work at Lululemon. So the great thing about working here is actually yoga is a big part of our culture. And as a store manager, I am a coach and a leader to my team. So my intention for this course is really to leverage my yoga practice to be able to be a better coach and just continue to learn and develop my coaching skills.
That's wonderful. Ashley, how long have you been practicing?
I've been practicing for probably about 10 years. When I swam at Cal, we practiced yoga. Definitely a different type of yoga than I do now, but it's been on and off for about 10 years now. And I think I really took yoga on about a year into working at Lululemon. I did a 30-day yoga challenge, and it kind of lit my yoga fire. So ever since then, I've been practicing pretty consistently. And actually, Melanie is my teacher.
person on the call, but she's definitely somebody that I really value her and what she brings to my yoga practice.
Wow, we have 6 degrees of separation here on this call. That's awesome. And I just want you to know that your contributions to the yoga community are huge because you make us all look so beautiful in your awesome clothes.
Perfect.
Okay, so I think those are just the four people that weren't with us. Am I missing anyone last week? And if briefly, can you share just where you live and your name, and we'll do Minx as well and Cynthia, and then everybody should know each other.
Yes, I live in Athens, Greece. What else do you want me? My name is Anna Georgiou. I don't know, you want a little story or?
Just, you work for Yoga Works, correct? You're a trainer for Yoga Works?
That's right. The past 7 years I've been in Athens. I moved from California, from Los Angeles to Athens, Greece, and I've been a trainer and teacher here. I'm coming from a big transition in life, so all this comes in handy.
Awesome. And everyone on the call, Anna's calling in from Greece on Skype, so her signal may go in and out, so just bear with her on that. Minx, would you share a little bit about yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Minx. I also live in Walnut Creek with Melanie and Ashley. I'm a Yoga Works teacher trainer. I'm also the teacher manager for the Northern California studios, and I'm excited to be here on the call.
Great. Thank you, Minx. And Cynthia.
Hi, this is Cynthia Francis, and I currently live in St. Petersburg, Florida, originally from Kentucky. I currently work in the corporate world, but I am taking a yoga teacher training class, and I've done some coaching in the past, and I guess that's about it. As a side note, I'm getting over a cough, so I'll be a little quiet today.
Okay. And just as a reminder on some of the logistics, if you have any background noise, which I don't hear any now, but you can always press *6 on your phone to mute yourselves. And then if you want to share in the conversation, which I hope that you will, just press *6 again to unmute yourself. Okay. So I just wanted to go over a few of the logistics just to make sure everyone is on the same page. All of these calls are being recorded, and I just wanted to check in that the people who missed last week's call were able to access the recording. Is there anyone that was not able to listen to last week's call?
I did listen to it. I accessed it. Because you're asking if we did not.
Correct. Okay, and so just so you know, all the calls will be recorded, and they will be available on Friday afternoons at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll be available for a week, but they won't be uploaded until 24 hours after we hang up from this call. So if you've missed a call or you know you're going to be missing the call, please listen to the recording before the next call, and you can even go back and listen to what you missed or wanted to just reiterate the things that we were learning. Is anyone not in possession of that link to the calls? Okay, great. I did receive all your bios. Thank you so much. I will put those together in one big email and send them out to you, but it sounds like everybody knows each other. There are a few people that don't, so I'll send that out probably tomorrow, as well as the coach schedule. Thank you. I'm assuming I've received any conflicts that you have around not being on the live calls, because I don't want to schedule you for a date that you won't be able to be on the call live. so I'll send the coach-to-coach schedule out with the bios. But right now, I'd like to give you your buddy list. And this is basically just to have support from the group as a weekly check-in or more. You guys can design it however you'd like. But it's just basically to have a sounding board to check in, ask some questions, receive support. You can practice coaching if you'd like. It's really anything that you would like between the two of you. So we have 8 people, and here are the pairings. Ashley is going to buddy up with Minx. Mel, who's not on the call, I'll get this to her with Kia. Jenny is with Cynthia. And Anna is with Nikki. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Sounds like a little delay on my end, so I just want to be sure. Okay. So everyone has their buddy list?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Before we get into the agenda, at the top of the hour, I will be doing another demo Coach the Coach session. Would somebody like to volunteer to be coached by me, excluding Minx, because Minx got to do that last week?
I'll volunteer. This is Jenny.
Jenny, great. Okay, so without without deterring from the agenda, just be thinking about some things that are something that you would like to be coached on.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for volunteering. All right, so I'd like to do a little group check-in. Maybe take 3 or 4 people to talk about any wins that they've had over the last week or any challenges that you've had over the last week or sharing an action challenge that you had for your own work on page 2 of the other supplement. Who would like to step in?
Hey, it's Ashley. I can share. Hi.
Thank you, Ashley.
So I had a conversation. I have some feedback. Do you guys hear that?
Yes.
A little.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of feedback.
Can you hear me now? I'll try.
Yep. This is really huge.
Okay, maybe somebody else go, because I'm not sure what's going on with my phone.
I think the phones are all kind of feedbacky. Does everyone hear that?
Yeah.
I hear it.
Is there a way to change that?
Well, a techie I'm not. I apologize. The only thing I can think of is to have everyone call back in again. Do you guys want to do that?
I would. I wouldn't mind
doing
that.
All right. Just everyone hang up and dial back in. So sorry.
Okay.
Sorted. How are we doing now, ladies?
It sounds better.
Anyone else? How's it sounding to you, Jenny?
So far, it sounds a little bit better.
Okay, is everyone back on the call?
You take a roll.
If you're not on the call, raise your hand. Okay.
Hey,
Ashley, are you on?
Yes, I am.
All right. Go ahead and start again, if you don't mind.
Okay. I had a great conversation with one of my floor leaders yesterday. She is pregnant, and she has decided to step down to part-time. And that's been kind of a difficult decision for her. And we haven't really had the best communication. My communication for her lands as if she's doing something wrong, because I am very direct, and I think there is just, for me, not acknowledging her enough. But in this conversation, I came to the conversation really wanting to create a partnership and a solution together with her wanting to step down, because this is something new for me. Like, I haven't had someone step down from a leadership role into a part-time position. So came to the conversation not having any expectations of the end result. And I just came back from a leadership conference for Lululemon, and something that someone said was over there listening. So I was practicing my over there listening and putting myself into her shoes and really listening when she was speaking for where she's coming from. And in the conversation, we were able to really uncover what she's looking for as far as continuing to work for Lululemon as a part-time employee, around her availability, her mat leave, and just expectations in general, and also get really clear what her concerns are, you know, not being a leader anymore and the team seeing her in a different way, and being able to talk through actually what that would look like. And
that's
we left
awesome.
With clear expectations as far as, you know, what she's going to do next step, what I'm going to do next step, and the by when.
And how does that feel?
Good. I think it's felt like a struggle up to this point with her and I, and it just felt like we both got what we wanted, or the resolution was in partnership. So it felt really good to have that communication land and it not be weird, I guess would be the best way to describe it.
That's great. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to contribute? When we talked a little bit about this last week, we tend to play certain roles in groups, and sometimes we're taking the leadership and talking a ton, and there are times when we step back and don't talk enough. But just so you know that this coaching program is incredibly interactive, and we want your participation, so feel free to jump in.
Kia? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kia.
Go ahead, Kia.
I jump in a lot.
Go ahead, you go.
what I'm sort of struggling is more of the personal thing at the moment. I'm supposed to be writing, and I never seem to get down to actually writing. I'm doing everything else that needs to be done in my life, and when it comes to it, there's no time left over. So, I need better time management. That's what I'm struggling with.
And that's pretty much a consensus with the people on this call is time management, because our lives and our culture these days are so busy. But I'm curious, I'm just going to ask you a quick question. When you say you're supposed to be writing, whose voice is that?
Well, I have kind of a deadline is all it is. So I'm trying to get some writing done in the next month/2 months. And so that's why I'm supposed to do.
Okay. So that's your challenge, correct?
It's my challenge. It is, yes.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing. Who else?
Hi, it's Jenny. I have a list of things that I'm being challenged by and I want to work on, but I'm not sure if you wanted us to talk about last week or anything you're going to do at the end of the call.
Yeah, you're kind of cutting in and out. Just a check-in, anything that you'd like to share with your group or something that you feel like you need to verbalize.
No, not yet. Thank you.
Okay.
Is it still something I can try to switch phones?
Yeah, it's still breaking up quite a bit.
Okay, I'll try something else. Let me go.
All right. And just so you know, this is the first time that this has happened. I've done this program twice, so I will check into the technology piece after this call. Did anybody take the action challenge on page 2, and would you want to share what gems you took from those?
I will. This is Nikki.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Nikki.
Actually, I think it had to do something that Jenny said on the call last week, which was this idea of kind of creating space for the person to come up with their own answers. And on the second question, it says, write down what means to empower someone, kids, co-workers or partners to solve their own challenges versus telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my greatest teacher right now has been my little boy. And something that has like really opened my eyes to the way that I want to teach is that I am constantly trying to get him to come to his own conclusions. And I tend to ask him a lot of questions instead of when he asks me a question. So he'll ask me a question and I notice that I'll go about asking him questions to help him come to his own answer, whereas in yoga, I'm really quick to give an answer, and it's almost as though I need to assert my authority or my knowledge, and I'm coming to realize that one of the things that this course is trying to get us to do is empower our client or student to come up with their own solutions, and so that was really telling for me the way that that question was phrased with your kids or your coworkers or your partners, because that is something that I don't tend to compare my relationships with the way I teach my students. And so that was really eye-opening for me.
That's just great insight, Nikki, and what a beautiful example your son is in this situation for your growth as well. And I'm curious how you can take that mindset and bring it to your teaching.
Me too. No, I think what I'm thinking is, you know, the next time that somebody comes to me with a question, I'm going to ask more questions instead of just assert my knowledge. And I think that that's something that you did with the call last time. And I actually was going to share that as my win, which is that even with my own husband, I try to do some of these power questions instead of asking him, like, why are you doing that, why? And I never even thought that the question why could be assuming that, you know, make them feel as if they were inadequate or unworthy or falling short. I never thought that. And now I realize from just reading these power questions that when I continually ask him why, I'm making him feel as though he's doing something wrong.
Exactly. Wow, you guys are getting this stuff very quickly. You're already coaches. So thank you for sharing. Is there anything else that anybody wants to share?
I'd love to share. This is Jenny again. Is this phone better?
Thank you. This phone is so much better. Thank you.
Okay, good. So I kind of riffing a little bit on what Nikki said, you know, my yoga teacher, who I try to emulate as much as possible, probably to a fault, is a one of the things I really love about her in this question is, what do you appreciate about the instructor? I'm taking that question to be like, what do I appreciate about my instructor? Is that she does ask a lot of questions, and she holds her students kind of responsible for their practice, and is, you know, not just sort of spouting out instructions and telling people what to do, but explaining the why, and then get the students to understand, and then kind of give it back to her in another class. Like, why do you think we do this? You know, and I find that so empowering and so interesting, and it's one of the main things that's kept me inspired as a student, is that I I'm constantly questioning what I'm doing, not in the negative way, but like, why am I doing this? You know, because then that can, that definitely plays out in every other area of my life. Look, why am I doing this thing? You know, and then as a result of that, I find myself asking my students often, like, okay, which arm did I say? Whatever, you know, like, what are we doing? You know, and just kind of keeping them on the line to make sure they're paying attention and getting them to pay attention. But I guess my challenge with that is not, and I, you know, Nick, like Nikki knows me, and I don't want to come across as a dictator, or like a, you know, somebody who's it's always been my big problem as a teacher, that I think I'm mean, even though I know that I'm not, but I'm afraid that it's gonna come across that way. So being able to be genuine in the way that I love to learn and love to teach without being afraid. Hi, Anna. does that make sense?
It does. It makes total sense. And again, I appreciate the awareness. And a lot of this information, at least initially, is going to get all of us to think and sort of shift our perspective and look through a different lens and be able to interact with our students as well as our clients in a very parallel way. And for those of you who weren't on the call last week, you know, this marriage of life coaching, mentor coaching. Is an incredible parallel, and you'll be able to use one with the other. So thank you for sharing. We are going to shift a little bit. I just want to check in to be sure everybody received the PDF document on the powerful questions.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
And if you can, thank you. If you can also turn to page 45 in your manual.
Which page?
45. So our homework was to read pages 45 through 66. In the very last paragraph on that page, Cynthia, do you mind reading that?
Sure. Open-ended questions serve as a catalyst to stimulate thinking, uncover beliefs, and invite elaboration. Open-ended questions are useful to focus on possibilities, to explore new ways of thinking rather than to search for an answer. Elaboration of points of view and deeper thoughts result from this co-created collaboration process.
Yeah. So if you don't mind continuing on, how do you understand the difference between open-ended and closed-ended questions, and how it facilitates the collaboration between clients and coaches?
Open-ended questions allow for the client or urge the client to answer to the topic that they're talking about. So you don't ask, "Are you okay?" Because that's a yes and no answer. You would say, "How was your day?" You know, to promote discussion and thought and conversation. And I forget the second part of your question, but I think it was about collaboration. And go ahead.
I was going to say you answered it brilliantly.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, and I just wanted to check in to, you know, bring awareness around how we interact in our everyday life when we are in conversation with people. Obviously, if we don't have a lot of time and it's a conversation that just needs to be had for work-related things or personal-related things, you know, it can be a simple yes or no. But in this co-creative process between client and coach, we want to facilitate and we want to engage the client in dialogue. So by looking through this document, these are just some examples of using powerful questions to elicit and engage the client in conversation. Any questions on this piece of asking powerful questions and how that's relevant? Great. Okay. Let's move on to page 46 then, please. And Nikki, would you read, starting from this process requires the mentor coach, and read those bullet points as well?
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. What is said? What is not said? Attunement to body language, listening first and evaluating later, interrupting only to ask for clarification, clarify or stimulate reflection, nudge or challenge to explore further possibilities.
Great, thanks. And so the sentence right before the bullet points just says this process requires the mentor coach to be an active listener and to pay attention to those things that Nikki read. So I'm not sure where I heard this, but I use it all the time. Whatever you choose for your language around the higher power, God, the universe, or spirit, we were given two ears and one mouth. So meaning that we continue to learn how to listen more and speak less. And it's, and in, to Jenny's point, it's exactly what she's aspiring to do. And I think all of us can continue to develop in this area to allow the conversation and the client to let us know exactly where they want to go and for us to listen, being present, being grounded, and to help facilitate the dialogue. So you're going to be hearing this throughout the 12 weeks, that listening is one of the most powerful tools in mentor coaching. The third bullet point, attunement to body language, is kind of challenging when you do coaching over the phone. 95% of my clients I work with are over the phone. I work with clients across the country. So it's challenging to tune into the body language when you're not in person. So I feel like when you're on the phone, you're actually more in tune to the subtleties of tone. It's something that I find that I work with in my yoga classes as well, just tuning into the energy. Does anyone want to share an experience of being a teacher or being a student and tapping into energy?
Hi, this is Kia. I think when you, a couple of things, when you go into class with a plan and then you just feel energetically where everyone's at, and in order to engage them, you have to throw it out and just sort of start all over. My favorite thing lately is just simply to go in and start and then just let the class unfold from that initial place, which was tapping into where everyone's at. So.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's a tremendous quality to have, to be able to read the energy of the room and be able to offer a practice that serves that energy. It's something that I'm working on in my own teaching. I tend to be very prepared. Come in with my book, come in with my my sequence, and if I veer from it, then I'm going to make a mistake. So we all have places that we're developing and growing, and I really appreciate that. So thank you for sharing. Anyone else on that?
Hi, it's Jenny again.
Hi.
Well, speaking of listening skills, I think I may have not just misheard you. Did you ask for more elaboration on that listening or the?
If anybody else wanted to, yes, contribute to their experience of tuning into the subtle forms of energy in a room.
Sure, I can definitely share about that. And this is, again, this is going to go along with one of the things that I'm hoping to tackle over this whole process, which is, and I'm pretty sure that the yoga teachers can relate, probably everyone, no matter what you do, can relate to this, but I often misread energy, where if I'm in a state of some kind where I'm maybe not my best that day, I will assume that students just hate me, you know, and it's really doing a disservice to everybody because it just sends me, and I've been teaching for so long and it doesn't seem to be, it has nothing to do with the students, it has nothing really to do with teaching, it's just my own stuff, but I'll focus on one person who I have this whole story going on about, like what they think about me and what they think about their experience, and meanwhile I'm always wrong. And how to, most of the time I'm wrong, how to, like, sort of separate that out so that I'm not, because I am pretty intuitive about energy often, but when I'm in a place of, like, vulnerability or fear, like, I just go to that. I just right away I get on that train toward, you know, negativity and thinking that I'm not good enough or whatever, and how I can, you know, it's not going to be something that gets fixed, but at least, be able to deal with the situation at hand without letting that run the show, you know?
Right, right. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Okay, let's move on to page 51. We're going to talk a little bit about balancing doing with being. So as you read through this little section, you'll notice that the doing is really trying to fix your client or your student. And from a being place, when you actually get centered and grounded, it gives your client access to all of their states of mind. It actually gives you access to all of your states of mind. It's easy to make, from that place, it's easy to make. Poor Anna. For example, an empathic statement could be, I hear how exciting that's been for you. And so from here, the client can go with you to a new place. You're allowing them to feel heard and understood, and they can join you on common ground. So acting or expressing empathy allows you to be in tune with their thoughts and feelings rather than trying to fix them. And that's a huge distinction. And there were already a couple people on this call, I think it was Nikki, that really brought awareness to how maybe you just of wanting to fix or wanting to give answers rather than empowering your students and or your clients to figure out those answers on their own. Because at the end of the day, your clients are all creative, resourceful, and whole. There's nothing to fix. You're just there on an equal playing field with them, helping to facilitate their growth towards the things that they say are important to them. Any questions on this piece?
I have a question. It's Minx.
Go ahead, next.
Are we going to get a chance to talk about, you know, many of us on the call are trainers, you know, there's this, I think we're interested in finding a way to utilize the coaching skills, but we'll also be doing it in a situation where we do have to use other skills that are not so much about resourcing the student. You know, it's about we've got to share certain context and curriculum and get them into expertise with that information. Are we going to talk a little bit about, you know, how to go back and forth between these roles?
I'm not quite clear what you're asking. Can you ask it again?
Okay. Sure. You know, one of my hopes with the program was to be able to enhance what I do as a teacher trainer. And when you're a trainer, you have, you know, information you've got to deliver and get your students in the teacher training who are going to become teachers into a level of understanding and expertise with that information. And so it's not always drawing on their resources because they don't have those resources yet. And so when we're, you know, what I really like about the coaching is the capacity to be present with the student in their process of learning, but I can see there's going to be a moment where you have to cross over and be the consultant expert who is, you know, providing an answer, giving the information, you know, sort of redirecting a misunderstanding. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand so I can answer you clearly. The short answer is yes, we'll be getting into that and how to engage with the client and around process and context and all of those things. But the bottom line in the context that I'm trying to create in these first few calls is just to explain the relationship between the client and the coach, and how they are in equal partnership. There will be specific instances like working with your teacher trainers to bring them up to speed or wherever you'd like for them to be, that you can absolutely apply these same skills in the context that you need around the teacher training course. So they're transferable. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay, and I can elaborate more on that, and we can actually talk more about that offline if my answer wasn't satisfying.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to do that.
Okay? Yeah, great, and thanks. And your feedback, all of everyone's feedback, is extremely important. Okay, so I would like to now talk a little bit about this process, this mentoring process, to be open to the outcome. Not trying to ghostwrite the client's story, or like we talked a little bit about last week, not hijacking the agenda. So the point of reference is always the client. You're there as an architect to help develop their story. Wherever they want to go, it's completely their agenda. How they feel, how they think, how they organize, how they experience. This allows true collaboration and co-creativity. So you're working to develop an alliance with your clients. Can anyone share with me their process of how they work with their students in the studio and how that might parallel this process?
I wanted to share something, and I think it might help Minx. This is Nikki, and that is after doing the trainings a couple of times, I started to realize the difference between trying to give my students information and have them understand it on their own. And for me, those aha moments are the moments that everyone remembers. When you finally grasp the concept, you're like, oh, my gosh, I totally get what they're trying to say. And for me, a lot of that has become kind of what I think you're saying, Sasha, which is getting them to realize that they already know it. For example, you know, when we're trying to teach overcompensation or the path of least resistance when we say, you know, take your arms up by your ears and your ribs are going to puff if your shoulders are tight. You know, everybody has seen that image. Everyone knows the image of the gymnast. But until you kind of give it in a certain light, they might not understand that insight. But instead of just saying, when people's shoulders are tight, their ribs are puffed, if you give them the information in an experiential way, then they have come to the realization themselves. Or when they try it on in their own bodies, then they've come to the realization themselves. So they actually do have that awareness. It's not like these concepts are completely foreign to them. They just don't know them in the context of a yoga teacher training. So I think kind of trying to open doors for your students, or, you know, maybe more like windows of insight that they already know physically, but you're pointing it out to them. And so in that way, you're not kind of, again, force feeding them. You're letting them come to their own conclusion. And I think that's what, I don't know, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what you're trying to say, is that everyone kind of has this wisdom. You're just letting them find it in themselves. And so that's what you're saying.
It's exactly what I'm saying, and just hearing it articulated in a different voice, you know, may land better with Nancy. So that's exactly right. It's empowering the students to trust that they have the wisdom already inside, and we're there to facilitate that wisdom and let them come to their own conclusions. We can guide them. We can certainly provide the safe container for them to grow and develop into whatever area they're working in. And so it's an ongoing process. So, Nikki, thank you for sharing your insights. All right, for the last few minutes here, before we get into our Coach the Coach session, I'd like to turn to page 64 in your manual. And just briefly, we're going to run through these four steps of communication. And hopefully you'll be able to listen to these being applied to the Coach to Coach session. Anna, are you back with us? I'm sorry you're having such difficulty today. Would you read the first step of communication?
Sure. Back to the speaker, let's hear him prepare to say.
Okay, and can you give me an example of that?
This is actually a great way of taking your time to listen there and making sure that it's heard what the person, the client, and said to you, and making sure that it's not what you thought, but what they really did say. So it's a good way of taking it and sure that you understand the fact that they feel like what they actually
do. I don't know if I'm the only one having trouble hearing Anna, but thank you, Anna, for sharing. And it's just a reminder to be clear about what you're hearing and allow the client to be heard and make sure you're accurate in the direction that you're going. Number two, Ashley? Top of page 65.
All right, I had trouble getting off mute.
That's okay, I forgot
Claire?
About that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to, like, unlock my phone and get in there. Okay. Clarify by asking the next question. So Crowdy has taught us that really smart people ask questions rather than give answers. The detail may contain the feeling and the important aspects otherwise would have to be assumed.
Right. So once you've reflected back what you've heard and they share that that is exactly what they're saying, then it will help you to ask the next question. Number three, Nynx.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Understand the context.
And just read the last paragraph of that section, please.
Okay. The mentor coach asks questions and highlights the awareness of the client to help understand both subjective and objective perspectives. To understand the context in which a client is working includes, for example, the meaning of any situation, including time, location, and system.
And so what does this section mean to you?
To me, it means understand the influences that Finn is dealing with.
Mm-hmm. And all the details surrounding it, right? To sort of frame the agenda.
Sure, yeah. I mean, to me, there's so many, like I think we all do this as yoga teachers, there's, you know, what's the situation, what's the internal situation of the person, and what are other factors to consider as they communicating, yeah.
And how about number four, Kia?
Listen between the lines. For someone who listens to facts, that filter will mean that the person stops listening when the speaker stops giving facts. I'm a very intelligent person who listens to information, the communicator, in order to hold the listener's attention, must interweave information with the newness of what is being said. The speaker's emphatic attunement to the listener includes creating a listening environment while providing information without losing the listener's attention. Listen literally, very closely to what someone says, and you will pick up constant clues about what is wanted and needed. Truth as well as reality.
Thanks, Kia. And I think this piece may speak a little bit to Minx's question about that balance between giving information and allowing the client and or student teacher trainer to come to their own conclusion. So we're always working, sort of dancing in that balance between the giving of information and allowing the student to find their own wisdom. Great. Okay, we are at the top of the hour. So if everyone besides Jenny would press *6 to mute. Anna, you'll strike a line through your microphone. Jenny, are you there?
Yep.
Great. Thanks for volunteering.
Sure.
And background noise. So we already
I have a fan on. Should I turn it off? Do you hear it coming from my end?
Yes.
Let me turn it off. Hold on. It's really hot in New York today. How's that?
That's so much better. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. So would it be best to ground as we make the transition from our lecture to our coaching session? What serves you best?
I actually feel really grounded. So
okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the zone. So we can just move,
right.
We can go right into it if you want.
Perfect. That sounds great. So tell me what's on your mind today.
Well, I think I sort of touched on it a few moments ago when I talked about this idea, and it's great because that listening between the lines section that Kia just read about, you know, perception, all about being perception, whether it's reality or truth. And I'm a couple of things, I guess. Let me try to narrow it down because there's always a lot going on with me. I'm trying to train myself to get out of my comfort zone in terms of teaching. And I'll just give a little bit of background in terms of what I mean. So, and a lot of these yoga work, I'm so happy that all of these teachers that I know are on the call because they can probably relate. I'm a YogaWorks trainer. I've been teaching for a long time, and we are expected to teach a certain way. And as I grow in my teaching, which is hopefully what we do as teachers, is we continue to learn, my teaching is being influenced by other styles and other ways of, and I want to do things differently, but I'm afraid to do that because it's scary to go against what the, well, not the grain so much as like what I'm, I think I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm what, like, basically I want to be able to have less anxiety and trepidation, like less fear about teaching and, what is really interesting to me. Because I really believe that when a teacher really teaches from a true, authentic place, that it's interesting anyway. You know, and when teachers are phoning it in or not that interested in what they're doing, that's when problems arise, you know. So, and I have this information about, like, you know, what I, in my own experience, what I've seen teachers do and how they do it really well, and then my own fear of doing the same thing. Does that make sense?
It does. So if I'm hearing you correctly, presently you're training to get out of your comfort zone, even though that may create some fear and anxiety in you.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So what are you presently doing actively to get out of your comfort zone? Give me some examples.
I'm thinking about it a lot. I am, let me see, what am I doing? I should have known this question was coming. Nothing. You know, I'm stuck. I mean, I'm really kind of paralyzed. Like I sometimes weave in something and but then I find myself, this is so awful, but I find myself like apologizing to the class. Like, we're going to try this, you know, and not necessarily saying I'm sorry, but not being, I'm a fairly confident person, but sometimes I find myself like cowering in front of the students. And then it's just like, you know, you're sending, you know, you're going to get slaughtered if you show any sign of weakness as a teacher. I mean, that's an exaggeration. So, so trying to just, you know, kind of bring things in little like piecemeal, but it's not fulfilling me enough. It's not working because I want to be able to just really be myself. And the feeling that I can't be is making me, you know, it just makes me really upset. So what am I doing? I'm not doing anything because I don't know what to do.
Okay. So thank you for your honesty about feeling paralyzed in moving towards what you say is important to you. And what would it look like if you were in full confidence of teaching out of your comfort zone without any judgment, analysis, or control?
Well, something that you just asked me actually just made a light bulb go off in my head, which is that if I'm actually teaching authentically, then it wouldn't be out of my comfort zone. You know, it's sort of like a paradox. Like if I just did what I wanted to do, then it would be comfortable. So what that would look like would look like me not stuttering when I'm teaching or not faltering, walking in there and having a plan and going through with it and not changing it, not backing off, not like, you know, okay, I can't do that because that person looks like they want to flow. And I, you know, or, you know, oh, I can't do that. That person's just going ahead with my plan, of course, within reason, like not, you know, risking somebody getting injured, but just going through with what I want to do and not stopping myself. That's what it would look like. And then walking out of the class feeling like, oh, wow, I did what I wanted to do and I did it well because I know what I'm doing. Instead of walking out feeling like, oh, man, there I did it again. I just, like, I kowtowed to the students, and that's not good, especially since you're a teacher, since I'm a trainer, and I'm training people to have confidence. So it's a mess.
It sounds like you put a lot of pressure on yourself.
You think?
Capable. Well, what I know of your background, which is just reading your bio and chatting with you briefly, you have a wealth of experience and you are, you know, at the top of Yoga Works teacher training world and people look to you for growth and development and leadership and wisdom. And it just makes me curious where your fear steps in. Where does that come from?
Oh God. I mean, this would have to change into a therapy session, but it's, I don't know. It comes from it comes from that very human area, that fear of like, oh, they're not going to like me. You know, that even my teacher who I really love and she, you know, and it's okay to have, I really believe that it's okay to be nervous as a teacher. To me, it means that you care, you know, that you have some, like, you're like, oh, you know, but not to be so nervous that you can't, act. So I don't know. I mean, I think it just comes from, I also, you know, and I know, thankfully, I know that this call is confidential and that everything I say here won't, you know, go anywhere. But, you know, I'm afraid of my company, you know, to some degree because I've trained myself out of work, if that makes sense. I've trained everybody now to take my job. So, I don't know if any of the other trainers know what I'm talking about, but so people now will work for less money than me. And so they're like, well, so in my imagination, I'm like, they don't, I'm kind of like being sent to, you know, the glue factory.
So what would you have to do to trust yourself more, to trust in that innate wisdom and brilliance that you own?
I think that what I need to do, and I just need to make this a habit and do it, is I need to spend maybe 10 minutes before I teach, like going into a quiet place and just meditating and breathing and setting myself up for that and kind of praying on it and just saying, okay, you know, and also realizing that I'm not, that as a teacher, and I can only speak for myself, like I'm in service to the students. Like it's not really about me. And to, like, what can I bring into the room? What can I bring to the students that is not just me bringing, oh, I want to show you these fancy things. But I think that if I'm a teacher that is excited and, you know, inspiration and I'm inspired, then that is actually being of service to the students. So, you know, setting aside a moment before I walk into the space, which is hard because there's just not a lot of room in New York. Like, there's no quiet place. But somehow, you know, somehow just going, finding some way to pause before, you know, I'm like over-caffeinated, overstimulated, you know, my adrenals are shot all the time. Like just trying to calm down before I start.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I'm wondering also what other modalities you use for balancing your energy. Do you practice any restorative yoga? Do you meditate? What are some of the things that you do to balance your energy?
I try to meditate. It's a part of my practice. I try to meditate for at least 10 minutes in the morning, which short period of time, but has such an amazing difference, makes such a difference. I pray, you know, I just like sit down and like get on my, you know, and say like, please, like, let me be of service today, you know, every morning. I just do that out of habit. And, but I don't practice enough restorative because, and I mean, that's been on my list for like 20 years, but it's just not something, I'm not pulled toward it because I'm the opposite energetically. But as I get older, I mean, I'm definitely becoming more interested in moving more slowly, definitely. But yes, I'm just sitting more, just take, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You can finish.
I don't think I was saying anything other than just repeating what I was saying. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I love that you said, and I really want to acknowledge this piece because I think as teachers, it's a gentle reminder of why we're doing this work. To be in service to our students. And it's not about us. It is about being completely and totally in service to the students, to the community. And I think once we start to get into our ego and comparing ourselves to other teachers, to looking a certain way in performing in front of a class, I just think it does, it takes away from the being in service mode when you're in your ego. You meaning any of us in general. So I really find what works for me is that constant reminder of I'm there to be of service. I'm not attached to the outcome of anybody's practice. I'm going to bring my true, authentic self and take good care and hold the space and hold the container for my students or for my clients and allow them to be exactly where they need to be. And I just know that not everyone is going to love me, and I know that not everyone is going to dislike me. But you constantly showing up in your authentic self is doing a huge service to the people that you're working with.
Right, which is what I'm trying to do more, is just to get out of my own way, you know.
So what's one baby step that you can take in the next 2 days that will help you continue to go on this path towards being in service and less in judgment of how you're showing up in your class?
Well, I think what I think I need to do, and because I just forget to take that pause because I'm running, you know, is like it's a simple sort of logistical thing, is I could just set my iPhone alarm like 10 minutes before class and say, okay, yeah, you know, go, now's your chance, wherever you are, go find some way to connect to that piece that you were just mentioning, you know, and to and when I have remembered to do that, you know, because when I remember to do it, I always do it. I'm like, oh right, this makes your experience so much better, and it's just a minute, you know, it's just a short, it's just making that like little going from me, like the ego, to the service. It changes it so, I mean, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So just having some way of reminding myself to do that and to not, you know, talk to the whole staff at the studio and not to, like, you know, gossip with the other teachers and just to go take that time for myself. So maybe, like, just setting an alarm, something like that I could do. That's pretty easy, and I could commit to that.
Okay. Can you say that in a I am committed to statement?
I'm committed to setting a reminder alarm on my iPhone for the next, well, I'm teaching tomorrow and I'm teaching teacher training all weekend. So for the next 3 days before I teach, 10 minutes before, to give myself time to get quiet and to breathe before I teach.
I love that. I think that's fantastic. Tell me what your takeaway was from our session today, our very brief session.
Well, you know, I love this whole method of the asking the questions, because it makes me laugh, because as soon as you ask the question, it's like, oh, right, okay, I know the answer, you know, and so that the, because as soon as someone tells me what I should, you know, what I should do, it's like a shutdown. So just remembering that we all know what we need to do, and it's just that gentle way of bringing it out and having us remind ourselves of what we already know. I mean, it's just really, it doesn't bring, what I get from it is it's so easy for everyone. For me as the listener or the person who's telling you what I want, and you as the facilitator, like, it's win-win.
Completely. May I check in with you on Monday after your teacher training weekend to see how this piece played a role for you?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Jenny. Thanks. I know 15 minutes goes by fast, but I appreciate you stepping up. And if everyone else would press *6 to unmute, we'll all come back onto the call. Who would like to start off facilitating some feedback around that coaching session? What you heard, what you have questions on, what worked?
I'd love to say something. Minx.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just really appreciated the, you know, safe and, I don't know, it just feels really caring the way you hold the space for Jenny so that Jenny could be really vulnerable and open and true with what's going on with her. That was wonderful to watch here.
Thank you, Minx. Who else?
And you may be trying to unmute.
This is Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia.
I would like to mirror what Mink said about how you helped Jenny. You could really hear her genuine, I don't know if anxiety is a good word, but you could really hear and feel the energy of her problem and wanting to solve the problem. And you could almost see, you know, her searching for solutions and digging a little deeper, and how you held that space with her energy was great.
Awesome. Thank you. Who else would like to share?
This is my question, Sasha. Did it take you a long time to, hone this talent? Because for me, I know Jenny, and I want to be like, Jenny, you're incredible. Stop it. You're so amazing. Like, and how do you keep yourself from doing that?
From me talking that way?
Yeah, like going like, Jenny, you're so, because like the way that you approached it was so perfect. You were like, I know, I've seen, read your bio. Like, you're pretty freaking amazing. But instead of saying, like, wake up, you know what I mean? Like, that, my tendency would be like, if I was talking to Jenny, that's what I would want to say. So is it just like practicing? Did you at the beginning have to go in saying, okay, I'm not going to say those things?
No, it doesn't enter my mind anymore because I've got a lot of years of training. But you're also approaching Jenny from a friendship and point of view and maybe not a working relationship. This is all about teaching the skills. And so, no, that never enters my mind because I don't do that with any of my clients. I might do it with my best friend if I'm not coaching her. In this context, I'm trying to exemplify the skills that I'm trying to teach you. So I've been doing this for 15 years.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
So be patient, little grasshopper.
That's right, exactly. Grasshopper.
Oh, Nikki.
Thank you. Who else would like to share? Did you have questions about how the interaction went? Did we touch upon the context of what we discussed in our lecture prior to the call? What did you hear?
This is Minx again.
Okay.
I heard you using the, you know, open-ended question format to help her resource her own wholeness and expertise to come up with an agenda that felt really good for her.
Mm-hmm. And can I add something? This is Jenny.
I'm going to actually have you go last.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Nope.
More time to practice your listening. Ashley, Kia, Anna? Anyone?
I just second what it was said by Minx. I think that I think it's really powerful when you acknowledge that the person you're speaking to already has the answers, so the leaving them space and asking them to give you, you know, where they're at rather than posing an agenda. It's just really powerful.
Yeah, it is powerful, and it's transformative as well in this whole style of being, asking powerful questions and being collaborating with your client is so incredibly empowering. Ashley, anything to add?
Yeah, I think I was just kind of reflecting back to when I first was a coach and was coaching people, and then even, coaching my team and new leaders to be a coach and the Socratic method. I think what I really heard in your coaching was the ability to come from a place of nothing, whereas sometimes I see people fall into knowing the answer and asking a question from that place. So I could really tell, and it's probably helpful that you don't know us so well, and that's probably where it gets a little bit gray. But really being able to just ask from nothing and just inquiring about where Jenny was coming from, as opposed to, like, you already have the answer and you're asking a question for something specific.
Right, and I think it really speaks to, it doesn't matter if you know your client or not. You'll get to know them through the relationship. So these tools that you're learning and the principles that you're applying will work with anybody who is ready to step in to coaching.
Totally.
Okay, Jenny, jump in and let's hear your perspective as a client.
Well, it's just so, it was so interesting because when you said to me, the first question was, so what are you doing right now to start that process? It's like, oh, right. Like I had nothing to say, you know, and I was just, and I realized that I'm not doing anything right now to help myself in that process. And that's why it's continuing to be a problem. And that sort of, okay, take action. And the results will, you know, whatever happens will happen. But I'm just like kind of wallowing in this like place of, you know, no matter whatever, how much experience I have, it still doesn't matter. If I'm in a place of insecurity, you know, someone telling me that I have tons of experience and I shouldn't be afraid doesn't help at all. You know, in fact, it makes it worse. It makes me feel worse about, like, I'm like, well, then I shouldn't feel that way. And then I start to doubt how I feel. So that, like, that very, just, it's just like, duh, like, yeah, Jenny, you know, but it's like such an empowering thing to say, well, what are you doing about it? And in that, you're not saying it in that way, but so what are you, it's all in the tone that you're using as well. It's very, it's not accusatory. It's sort of, you're just like exploring. Like, so, you know, it's really, really, it changes the whole way that it comes across. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. My pleasure. And it's just another reminder, as we talked about last week, the difference between coaching and therapy. I mean, people can think about what they want. You know, you can be in your head 24/7. But until you actually put something into action and move forward, it's not going to manifest. So coaching helps facilitate that process of moving through some stuck areas and getting those things that are in your head out into action. And then that's when the shift occurs. That's when the process of change happens, when you're actually moving through and staying in action to further the learning.
Can I add one thing? There's an expression in AA that's act yourself into right thinking. You can't think your way into right acting. So it's really, I find that. Yeah, you have to act your way into right thinking. Just do the action and the thinking will follow. Yeah, it's really good.
Well, guess what? You guys are going to be stepping into this starting next week. Isn't that fun?
Yay.
All right, and I will send you the schedule of who's coaching, who's being the client, who's being the observer, starting next week through the end of our program. Just to briefly go over the homework, please read pages 81 through 86, and this is all in the syllabus as well, and page 97 through 100. Which we'll be referencing throughout the rest of the course. It's the 5 tools of the simple coaching model. And then I would also like for you to check in with your buddy. Share a copy of your SMART goals with them. It doesn't have to be the final version. We chatted a little bit last week about creating the SMART goals. So just check in with your buddy and be held accountable for starting that process.
I received this over an email over because I'm wondering how it's here for Nikki. Is my body too confused?
I'm sorry, Anna. I just so apologize. It's really challenging to hear you today for some reason. Can you try again?
I said how are we sharing the smart goals by email?
Oh, sure. Yeah, email. You can Skype. If you know you're in Greece, you're in a different time zone there. So you and Nikki just work it out. Maybe email to start. If you want to Skype, you can. If you want to talk on the phone, anybody, whatever way that you want to design it with your buddy is completely great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions before we close our session?
Are we getting a contact list way to reach each other?
Yeah, that would be helpful, wouldn't it? So everybody's email is on the list of emails I sent, but if it doesn't have their name, you don't know who is who. So let me get you that contact list. I only have email addresses. So start there, and then if you guys want to communicate by phone, you can exchange phone numbers.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Everyone, thank you so much for your time and for your energy. I'm really excited to be working with all of you. As always, if you need any of my support between calls, please email me. And I'll be in touch with the documents that I have promised. And have a great week. I look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Namaste.
Bye.